Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me today. If you're a new listener, we welcome you and want you to know we're heard on this station every day, Monday through Friday, at the same time. And as I was praying and asking God what He would have me to share starting today in the next few days, He placed a subject that I believe is critically important for the lives in which we are now living. The Word of God is pertinent for every season of our lives, and that's true for mankind in general. The words that were spoken by the Lord to His disciples are just as pertinent and timely today as they were when they were first uttered or penned by the prophets. And there is a statement made in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews where the author says, "Let us labor to enter in to rest." And if there ever was an oxymoron, that is it. And you might say, what is that? What's that word mean? Well, let's take a little break and we'll find out, in case you're not familiar with that term, what oxymoron is. By Webster's definition, it's a figure of speech. A figure of speech in which opposite or contradictory ideas or terms are combined. And so when we understand what rest is, we understand what labor is, but to have to labor to enter into rest, that's something that might cause us to scratch our head. Well, we're going to take some time and examine what the Word has to say, what Jesus had to say, and what are our obligations. What can we take away from this divine advice that we're given in the Word of God? Because it is definitely needed for the lives you and I live today. Obviously, if you've served the Lord any length of time, and even the unsaved, we know that this world is filled with trouble. Once we become a Christian, it does not mean that burden cease, trials and troubles stop. No, we just have different tools, if I might use that word, to be able to handle them, to confront them, to deal with them. And the world generally just tries some form of escape to get away from the trials and the troubles. But as Christians, we have divine resources that God wants us to avail ourselves of. And it's human nature, because we were designed for fellowship with God. Our first parents were placed in the Garden of Eden. There was no sin. There was no trouble. There was no temptation. It was a place of blessedness. As Christians, when we are with the Lord, we will be restored to that kind of fellowship that our first parents enjoyed before the fall. And so it is human nature to want to seek to escape from the troubles and trials and afflictions and find rest and freedom from the burdens that confront us living the lives that we live today. And, you know, we are fond of saying, well, Jesus was tested in every point as we were and as we are. And there are little hints of the things that Jesus had to experience when He was on this earth, that if we can experience impatience and frustration, well, obviously He had to too. The difference is He did not give in to the natural, normal feelings that flesh would encounter. He was without sin. So He responded in a godly way. He made the right choices. He always did the Father's will. For example, We've looked recently at the story of Lazarus. Jesus raised him from the dead. And why did he do that? It was to show the glory of God. He told his disciples that Lazarus was sleeping, and they thought it was natural sleep, but he then clearly said, no, he's dead. And so when Jesus wept at the tomb of Lazarus, there were perhaps several things going on. One was his identification with the grief and sorrow that Lazarus's family, Mary and Martha, the friends, he was relating to the tragedy of death, how sin brought death into the world, death and decay. And so he was relating to that. But also, he could hardly be crying that Lazarus was separated from him because he knew he was going to raise him from the dead. He said it was for the glory of God, but it was to demonstrate his power, his relationship with the Father, that it was God's will to always bring life. And that is true. That's why Jesus came, to bring eternal life to all of us. But also, perhaps his tears were a result of even his closest disciples did not fully understand or believe who the extent of who he really was, that he indeed was the Christ. And so also when Jesus came down from Mount Hermon, remember the Mount of Transfiguration? He had left most of his disciples down with the multitude, and a father came to him and asked Jesus. He said, Lord, please deliver my son. He was tormented by a devil. And he said, your disciples were not able to do this. And he said, a wicked and perverse. In fact, let me just read that in Matthew, the 17th chapter. He said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him thither to me. And so he was frustrated, and he was impatient that in spite of the signs they had seen, they were not, and he entrusted them. I give you power over. He sent them forth to heal and to touch the sick and raise the dead. He'd given them that power. And so So Jesus was indeed tested within every point as we are. And we can look further in the Word of God, the Old Testament. David said in Psalm 55, verses 6 through 7, and I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then I would fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness. Why was he saying that? He wanted respite, relief, wanted to get away from all the troubles that he was facing in his life. And also, look at Jeremiah in the 9th chapter, verse 2. He said, oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place of wayfaring men, that I might leave my people and go from them, for they be all adulterers and an assembly of treacherous men. And also we see that Jesus, as recorded in Luke, the 5th chapter, verse 16, it said he withdrew himself in the wilderness to pray. Why did he do that? Well, I just shared with you, he experienced the same frustrations, impatience, concerns that we do in our own life, even though society, of course, was very different. But this expressed his response. It's a divine remedy to the cares and turmoils of living in this age in which we are living. Why? He withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed to seek fellowship with the Father, to be able to experience that divine peace and rest that he always had because of his fellowship with the Father. And beloved, the good news is that that is what God intends for us as his people. He commands rest for his people. He knew what living in this world was going to present in the way of testings and trials and afflictions and burdens. And in fact, it was one of the Ten Commandments, Exodus 23 and 12. 6 days thou shalt do thy work, and on the seventh day thou shalt rest. And in Mark, the 6th chapter, verse 31, Jesus was speaking to his disciples, and he said to them, unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. Obviously, the healings, the miracles that were taking place, they were inundated with needy, afflicted people who needed healing and deliverance and to hear the good news of the gospel. And so just as Jesus found time in his own life, not just found time, made time, as because it was a necessity, he also was speaking to his disciples and is saying, he said to them, and he's speaking to us, you need to come apart. Come and rest a while from the cares and the burdens of daily life. And that's why I've said over the years that Sabbath principle is very important. It is a time just as, I mean, God, in fact, God himself established the precedent. He created the world in 6 days and he rested on the 7th day. So that precedes the law. That precedes the scriptures as we know them today. God himself rested because this is a principle. In fact, it was not laborsome work. He was the divine creator, but he established a principle which will be the experience of all of those who have eternal life in Jesus. There is an eternal rest for the people of God. Heaven is a place of work and activity, but there's nothing difficult. There's nothing trying about it. It is one of the joys that we will experience with the Lord, a fruitful occupation of our talents, of our abilities, of our times of fellowship. So it's nothing but a wonderful future for those who believe in Jesus. Well, I've just gotten into the message, and I pray you can be with me tomorrow, because I don't know about you, I think that's something we all need. We need to experience what the scriptures say, not just learn about it, not just agree with it, but to partake of it. Amen. Well, I love you, and I will continue to pray for all of us that we will enter into that rest. I invite you to tune in tomorrow at the same time, and if you have needs, I invite you to write. The announcer will give our contact information. Till tomorrow, this is Sister Glass. Hey, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.